Babylon and the Gates of Hell. And I'm going to hopefully show you some things that are going on that you might not even have realized that have been going on right now. That if you knew about them, maybe you would be a little bit more zealous. I'm so glad for the turnout tonight. Revelation chapter 9, verse 1 says, "And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit." The bottomless pit. And I'm going to kind of start at the beginning, because we know that in Genesis and in the first 6 days, hell was not created. In fact, in Genesis 1:31, at the end of the sixth day, God looked at everything that he had made, and what did he say? It was good. It was very good. That applied to all of creation. That applied to every single thing that he had created. What that tells us is that at that time, Satan had not rebelled. He had not fallen. And so at the end of creation, God looked at all of his works, and he said it was very good. So God had never intended for there to be this place called hell, this place of torment for his children. That was not in his plan. That was not an idea that he had from the beginning. That was not in Genesis chapter 1. That was not in Genesis chapter 2. It's not until man fell. It's not until Satan rebelled that hell was created. So we're going to look at when hell was created, and then I'm going to show you some, I hope, interesting things, and I'll try and do this in about an hour so that you all can get home at a good time. Last time it was still bright outside, but people wouldn't go home. Had to start turning off the lights again. Amen. So let's look at the creation of hell. We know that Lucifer was created a beautiful angel. He was, it says, he was the cherubim or guardian that covered. And the Bible is not really explicit, but it appears as if he was one of the angels that covered the mercy seat. Now, in the book of Revelation, we see that there are four creatures that surround the throne of God. And so it appears that Lucifer, as he was that time, was one of the covering cherubim. I'm going to try and go slow because I tend to go too fast tonight. So someone nodded. I'm so excited I might go too fast. All right, so I'm going to slow down. Amen. So Ezekiel 28:18 tells us about the fall of Lucifer. It says, "Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore will I bring forth a fire." It was when Satan rebelled that hell was created. It says, "I will bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all men that behold thee." It was when he sinned, when he first decided that he would be above God, that this place called hell was created. This is made explicit in the New Testament. In Matthew 25:41, Jesus says, "Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for who? The devil and his angels." That's what hell was created for. It was not originally created for humans, for his children, because it's a place of ultimately of destruction. So hell was not created in the first 6 days. It was not created in the initial creation. The Bible doesn't give us a date, but it was whenever Satan said, "I will be like the Most High." Whenever he said, "I am going to be like God," why should he be the one in charge? Pride. I've always said that that's almost the worst sin. Now, if you kill someone, presumably you know you killed someone, right? If you stole something, presumably you know that you stole something. But if you're all stuck up and proud, that's something that can just creep upon you and you don't even know it. That you've got a stinking attitude, that you think you're better. See, pride is such a deadly sin because you can't even really see that it's happening to you. How do we counter pride? I don't want to go off the subject, but how do you counter pride? How do you humble yourself? Yes, but that puts you before God. But how do you, in a practical sense, counter pride? Serve other people. Isn't that what Jesus did? Bible said he got up from supper. The creator of this universe laid aside his garments, got a bowl, and started to wash his disciples' feet. The Bible said he made himself of no reputation. So we see that this was the thing that caught Satan. He was such a gorgeous creature, so full of himself, that he fell to pride. Sister Stephanie.
What are some signs that you could tell that a person has pride?
Well, it's the reverse. They won't help other people. They won't serve other people. They're all about me, I, and myself, right? That's how you know someone is proudful. It's all about me. It's all about my needs. But someone who has a servant's attitude will be always looking to help others. So we see this was what caught Satan, because he was such a beautiful creature, he thought he should be just like God. But we see then that hell was created as a reaction to his sin. And of course, the kingdom's entrance, we talked about that in some of the last Bible studies. How do we go to that place? What is the entrance way to hell for us today? Sin? Sin is the visa. So we got our passport stamped. But what actually transitions us into that place? Death. The kingdom's entrance is death for us. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin was not imputed when there is no law. So although people were breaking God's rule, because it wasn't codified, it wasn't in a written form, God did not account for it. But still, because of the laws he'd already created, men died. You look in Genesis chapter 5 and it gives the genealogy, and they lived 800 and something years, and it always ends the same way. And he died. They were living hundreds of years, but still, because of sin, they always ended up dying. Nevertheless, sorry, it's in the wrong color. Death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression. We didn't eat the fruit, but because sin is really a genetic defect, it still kills. You know, if someone has sickle cell disease and they marry someone, then the children will also have it. There are certain diseases that it's not the fault of the child, it's just a genetic disease. And sin is a genetic disease. We lost our spiritual covering when Adam and Eve sinned. Something died. And so they could only give birth to what they had now become. That's why we have to be what? Born again. That's why we have to receive back that part that was missing. So from Adam to Moses, people died, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. And that's a whole Bible study to itself, right? How Jesus was a figure or similar to Adam. Everybody remember why Jesus is similar to Adam? The Bible says that Adam was what? Was not deceived. Right? So when Eve came to him telling him this story that Lucifer had said, listen, if you eat this, you can be just like God. Adam was not deceived. He didn't fall for it. But yet he still partook. And although the Bible doesn't say this explicitly, my reasoning is he went something like this. She's already eaten of it. And I love her so much that I'm going to try and see if I participate with her that maybe God will have mercy. Jesus did the same thing. He already knew we were fallen, right? The Bible says he that knew no sin did what? That's how Adam is the same as Jesus. Adam loved Eve so much. Not saying it was right, but it was in fact through the fact that he was willing to stay with her that there could be a possibility of a future Savior. Because after they were kicked out the garden, it said Adam knew his wife and she conceived. So we see that Jesus willingly became sin. And that's why it says that he's in the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But we see now that this place called hell was created. And we're told in the Old Testament about this person called the King of Babylon. And the Bible is very clever in certain respects of hiding or only revealing certain mysteries to those God wants to reveal it to. That's what in Matthew 13 he told his disciples, for the mysteries of the kingdom are only supposed to be for you. To those that are without, they can read it and still not understand it. So we see in the Old Testament about this figure called the King of Babylon. And if you put the scriptures together, the picture starts to emerge about this figure. It says in Isaiah 14:12, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? Now really, this is actually a prophecy. It hasn't finally been fulfilled. But verse 13 tells the point in which he did sin. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Now there's how many eyes in there? Now what did Jesus say? Nevertheless, not my will. Can you contrast the two? It was all about me, I, and myself. Satan was just saying, I will do this. I'm going to be like God. I should sit in his throne. I will be like the Most High. But the prophecy in verse 15 says, but yet you're going to be brought down to the sides of the pit. And so in the book of Isaiah, it's giving us some hints, some pictures about this person, Lucifer, who eventually became to rule this place called the pit or hell. It goes on in verse 4, going back to verse 4, it says, thou shalt take up this proverb against the king of Babylon and say, how hath the oppressor ceased, the golden city ceased? This is a prophecy. In scripture, Babylon was the oppressor. It was the city that captured the Jews. It was the symbol of evil. And so Satan is portrayed as the power behind this kingdom. Because the Bible says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against what? I wish we could remember that when someone gets on our last nerve. Right? Because we tend to get mad at the person. And if we could really see that they're being manipulated just to get at us, we would just take a deep breath and say, listen, okay, I'm just going to count to 10. I'm not going to, right? See, we wrestle. We should understand that we are in a war. We're in a spiritual war. And most of the things that happen to us are not directly being done by the person in front of us. But there are spiritual, the Bible says there are spiritual wickedness in what? High places. And so we see that behind this kingdom of Babylon was actually this spirit being, Lucifer. And he's called in the Old Testament the King of Babylon. And his kingdom is called Babylon. And this is another prophecy about what would happen to him. It says, the Lord hath broken the staff of the wicked and the scepter of the rulers, he who smote the people in wrath with a continual stroke. If the devil could kill you, he would right now. Did you know that? Yes, please listen to her testimony. The video did not come out, at least the one during the streaming, but I will be placing an edited version. And it was so powerful how the devil, the guy who attacked her, didn't even want to rape her. He just wanted to kill her. He was just beating her up. And then eventually he burned her car. So please listen to that. I'll be posting that on Facebook. So we see that this being called Lucifer had rebelled and became, in other words, the king of this place, the grave or hell. But then Jesus came, and we talked about the three kingdoms in a few Bible studies ago. And Jesus came, his first coming was for what? To take the kingdom of the grave. That's why people don't understand about why Jesus is coming twice. Why didn't he come the first time and set up the kingdom? Because there are three kingdoms. There's the kingdom of heaven, there's the kingdom of the grave, and there's the kingdom of the earth. The kingdom of heaven was always his. But when Satan came and rebelled and hell was created, this was a place now where the children of God who died would go because there was no way for them to go to heaven. And so Jesus came the first time to take back the kingdom of the grave. And we taught about that a few weeks ago. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8 says, "Wherefore he saith, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive." When he died, he died. His whole purpose the first time was to get qualified to go where? To hell. And what did he need to be able to go to hell? Sin. Sin. Remember, that's your visa to go to hell is sin. The Bible says that when he was brought before the high priest pronounced him to be the sin offering. And the Bible says that the high priest did not do this of his own self, but the Holy Spirit made him say that. He pronounced that Jesus was going to die for the nation. Once that happened, Jesus became qualified now to go to that place. And as I've taught before, you'll see that Satan didn't have a clue why Jesus came the first time. Didn't have a clue. So he wanted to kill him, because if Jesus had been killed before that event, before he became the sin offering, there's only one place he could have gone. Where was that? Before he became the sin offering, if they had managed to kill Jesus, where could he have gone? Heaven. He was not qualified. He was sinless. But after he was pronounced the sin offering, we see that Judas changes his mind, doesn't he? He goes to the high priest and says, "Wait a minute, no, 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 we don't want to kill him now." Why was that? Because Satan at that point realized, wait a minute, if I kill him now, he's coming down to my kingdom. Remember, the Bible says that after Jesus gave Judas the sup, it says Satan entered into him. Entered into Judas. Judas then, once the high priest pronounces Jesus the sin offering, suddenly it becomes clear to Satan what the whole plan was all along. He's coming to take away the kingdom of the grave. We got to stop it. So Judas runs to the high priest and says, here's the money back. Take it back. Stop the crucifixion. Too late. Jesus said, "No man taketh my life, but I lay it down, and I have the power to do what? Take it up again." The very last temptation when he was on the cross, saying, "I got to come up with something. I got to come up with something. We got to stop this crucifixion. Hey, Jesus, listen, if you come off the cross, then we'll believe you." Do you see how he was trying to do? But it was too late. He went down there, and in the 3 days, there was a battle. I don't say much of a battle. The Bible said that Jesus led captivity captive. That means he took all the prisoners he wanted and released all the righteous dead. And he led them to heaven and gave gifts unto men. Matthew 27:50 says, "And when he had cried again with a loud voice, he lit up the ghost. And the veil, behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake and the rocks rent. And the graves were what? Opened." The blood of Jesus was so strong that Satan could not hold on to the righteous dead. And many bodies of the slaves, the saints which slept, arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. So we see that the third kingdom, which is the kingdom of the grave, which Satan had, Jesus went down there and took away all the righteous dead. Everyone who had died from Adam until the thief on the cross was released, who was a righteous person. That doesn't mean everyone was released. We see this in the book of Revelation. Remember now, I showed you in the Old Testament that Satan is called the king of what? What's the name of the city? Babylon. Babylon. So now we go to the book of Revelation, and it's recapping what has happened. It's giving us another view of what Jesus did. Revelation 18:2, "And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen." When did it fall? It fell when Jesus went down there and destroyed Satan's kingdom. So now, if he took all the righteous dead, what's left in Babylon? Well, it tells us. And it's become the habitation of what? All that's left were devils, spirits, and the hold of every foul spirit and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. See, Jesus went down there and destroyed the kingdom of the grave. That's why when he arose, he says, I have the keys of what? Death and hell. We do not die. If you are filled with the Spirit and baptized in his name, you are only changed. This body must put on incorruption. If you were to die, if this body was to go right now, all that would happen is suddenly you would find yourself in the throne room of heaven. That's what I believe. You do not go to hell. You do not pass go. You go straight to heaven. Because the Bible says that he took away the keys of death and hell. The Bible said we are now seated in what? Heavenly places. So when he freed all the righteous dead from hell, Babylon is what it's called in the book of Revelation. The only thing that's left in there is the habitation of devils. All of the demonic spirits, in fact, the majority of demonic spirits are locked up in hell. If you remember when Jesus came to the man who was possessed and whose name was Legion, the spirits begged him, please do not send us to the abyss to be tormented. They knew if he sent them there, they had to go and they would not be released for a while. You see, Jesus said in Matthew 16, 18, I say unto thee that thou art Peter. Peter or Cephas is a stone. That's what it means. But then he said, upon this rock, and he's speaking about himself, I will build my church. Speaking about himself, and the gates of hell, this was before he died, he was saying what he was going to do was not going to prevail. Now, how can I prove that he was speaking that he is the rock? Because people misunderstand this and say he's telling Peter is the rock. Well, let's look at the Old Testament. Let's see if I can get this up there. 1 Corinthians 10:4. Here Paul is speaking about the children of Israel after they came out of Egypt. There was a rock that followed them for 40 years and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock was who? Christ. In fact, Jesus said when he went up to the Feast of Tabernacles, all of you that are thirsty, come unto me. Right? He told the woman at the well, if you just knew who it was speaking to you, because out of you, I could give you water. You know why? Because he was that rock. And so when he said the gates of hell would not prevail, he was speaking about, first of all, himself, and then us as a church. The gates of hell cannot prevail against a Christian who has been baptized in his name and filled with the Spirit. They cannot hold you down. They cannot hold you down. We do not die. We are changed. We are changed. Revelation 9:11 speaks about the fact now that that's what was left in hell. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon. Anyone know what Abaddon means? Destruction. Remember that thought. Abaddon means destruction. In Job 26, 6, it says, hell is naked before him, and in the Hebrew, it would be destruction. Abaddon hath no covering. Hath no covering. So the word in Hebrew for destruction is Abaddon. Sometimes they translate it as the name, and sometimes they just say destruction. So when you're reading the Old Testament, and you see it say destruction, it's really that word Abaddon. Now I want to take a little detour here. I've kind of laid the groundwork for the fact of what happened when Jesus arose. He depopulated the place called the grave. He took all the righteous dead to heaven. The proof of this, that nobody had gone to heaven, is of course what Jesus said when he was talking to Nicodemus in John 3:13. He said, no man hath what? Ascended up to heaven except the Son of Man, which is in heaven. At that point, nobody had qualified to go to heaven. But then he died. The Bible said he made an open show of the devil, triumphing over him. Amen. So now I want to show you a little video. Hopefully this will work. And you may wonder, what does this have to do with hell? Mysteries in physics. So because of that, they've been trying to figure out what is space. See, the Bible tells us that there is a spirit world. And science in the last few tens of years have come to agree that there are other dimensions. Other dimensions, of which we know that hell is not a physical dimension as such. Because the Bible speaks about it as being a place of torment. Now, you notice they spoke about space as having qualities or attributes, that it could be twisted, that it could be stretched. And so space, they have come to realize, is like a fabric. And when you stretch something that has rubber in it, it's got what? Energy. So empty space, they have found, actually contains energy. In fact, it's like a fabric that has been stretched out. And isn't that awesome? Because the Bible tells us that many, many thousands of years ago, Isaiah 34:4, and all the host of heaven shall be dissolved, and the heavens shall be what? Rolled together as a scroll. That tells us that the Bible acknowledged that space, empty space, was not empty. It was like a fabric. And the one physicist there made a very deep and profound statement. He said, fish don't realize they're in water. And it's just, we are not really cognizant of the fact that what we call empty space actually has properties. But the Bible acknowledged that many thousands of years ago, when the book of Isaiah speaks about that the heavens shall be rolled together like a fabric, together as a scroll, and all their hosts shall fall down as the leaf falleth from the vine. The Bible speaks about the heavens being rolled up because there's going to be a new space, a new heaven, and a new earth. Now, the Bible also speaks of hell as this place called what? The bottomless pit. Now, how can you have something without a bottom? A bottomless pit. Well, let me go on. In Revelation chapter 9 and verse 1, it says, and this was my key scripture, it says, the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven onto the earth, and to him was given what? The key to the bottomless pit. Now, what does a key do? Opens a door, opens something. All through Old Testament scripture, it speaks about hell as being beneath, as being below. And I could have put many, many scriptures. I just put two. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. Ezekiel 31:17 speaks about they also went down into hell with him unto them to be slain. And so the Old Testament projects that hell is somewhere below us, in the middle of the earth. So I wanted you to also see this other film about something that science has just in the last 50 years come to the realization of. Okay, now the Bible says about a star that fell from heaven. And if you heard what she said, when a black hole forms, nothing can escape, not even light. Now, the Bible predicts or says, Revelation, the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven onto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. Does anyone know what that is up there? You do. Okay. What is it? Okay. So there, about in 1998 in Europe, on the border between France and Switzerland, all of the European countries and America and actually a bunch of other countries got together to build this device called a super collider. That's a simple name for it. And it goes by the name of CERN because it's a French name, and those are the letters that form up the thing. And what it is basically, it's a huge ring that's buried under the earth. And it's although it doesn't look that big, it's more than 17 miles around. And it's got some other rings. And what what they do is they use it to shoot atomic particles together to try and see what the results of smashing these things together will do. And up until they had built that device, they had not been able to get to the energies that they thought that they would see some strange things happening. So In 2008, they finally finished the device and they started using it to smash particles together. And what they do, that ring consists of a tube that's buried up to 500 and something feet below the ground, although you can't see it. And in there is a tube that is a whole vacuum chamber. And around there are magnets, superconducting magnets, that accelerate the particles up to the speed of light. And so they send two different sets of particles around the ring in opposite directions. And then when they get up to a certain speed, almost to the speed of light, then they crash them together. And in doing that, they can make energies that surpass that's going on in the sun, and all kinds of things happen. So this CERN, as it's called, they came up with an emblem, and as you can see, it's a ring, but if you were to rotate the ring around, you'll see it's really 666. And in smashing these particles and energies together, they're approaching being able to create a black hole, but on Earth. And in a black hole, they really don't know what happens. It's really tearing the fabric of space. In other words, trying to open a doorway into another dimension. So underneath the Earth in CERN, so they started in 2008, and they started to speed this thing up, and it cost billions. It cost $11 billion to build this device because it's 500 and something feet below the Earth, and it's a 17-mile ring of tubes and superconducting magnets. And they shut it down in 2013 because they wanted to increase the amount of energy, and so they took 2 years to do repairs and to bring it up to the full speed. And so in 2015, which is how long ago? 2 years, they started ramping up the energy again. And they have now almost got it up to the maximum capability. But of course, some strange things have been happening, and there's some strange other things that are associated with this device. Because outside of their building at the headquarters of CERN is a statue. And the statue is that. And that statue was donated to CERN by one of the countries that is a member of CERN, by India. And that is the Indian god Shiva. Now, do you know what Shiva means? Destruction. Isn't that interesting? Remember, it said, I saw a star fall from heaven having the key to the bottomless pit whose name was Abaddon, means destruction. And here we have this device, which is the most powerful device on Earth, where they're trying to break through to another dimension. And it just so happened that their symbol is three sixes if you twist them around. And outside the building is the statue to the Hindu god Shiva, which means destruction. They've been operating for 2 years. In 2018, they're hoping to get to the full power. But even before that, some strange things have been happening. And if you go on YouTube, you'll find all kinds of stuff. I won't go into all the details. But one of the things is this tube is a sealed tube. It's a vacuum. So there's no air in it. There's no nothing in it. But things have been appearing inside of it. They called it an unidentified lying object found in the LHC. It was recently announced by a senior member of staff at CERN that a mysterious unidentified, I don't know why they call it lying, I don't know if it was standing up at one point, object had been found inside the LHC at CERN. The unusually named ULO was detected inside the sealed vacuum pipe in the heart of the giant 17-mile circumference particle accelerator. This major announcement was made very nonchalantly by the leading CERN physicist in a report, a lecture he gave to a physics group. So they haven't opened it up because it's under vacuum, but they know that there something was in there. This is what the Bible says and predicts is going to happen. After the key was given, the abyss was opened, and there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power as the scorpions. Now, we know that in Luke that this is emblematic of demons, because Jesus, when his disciples came back, and said, behold, I give you power to tread upon what? Scorpions, serpents and scorpions. So we know this is not literal scorpions, but it's emblematic of demons. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, meaning they're not literally scorpions and locusts, because locusts would eat green stuff. Neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal. Remember the Bible study last week about the mark and the seal? And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. And in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it. And it shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. And it goes on to describe symbolically what these demonic shapes look like. Now, I want you to pay close attention to the... It said they had hair as the hair of women. Remember that, and it goes into more detail. Well, that wasn't the end of the story with this CERN thing. On the border of Switzerland and France, where is CERN, is the Alps. And they decided to build what is the world's longest and deepest tunnel, connecting France to Switzerland. And the end of the tunnel is very near where CERN is. And this is the world's longest, deepest, most expensive tunnel. And it took, I think, 17 years to build. And so last year was the end of the construction of the tunnel. And so just like the Olympics, where they have these opening ceremonies, they decided to have an opening ceremony. And all of Europe's leaders came to the ceremony. The president of France, Germany, all of Europe's leaders came to this ceremony. And to just put it mildly, it was very weird. I'll show you some pictures. The centerpiece of the ceremony was a figure dressed in a goat, like a goat. And they had these people dressed up with long hair twirling around this figure in a goat. And they had pictures of decapitated, you know, even the news said this was the weirdest opening ceremony for this tunnel that ends up right where CERN is. What I'm trying to tell you is we're living in end of days. Well, yes, they call it a ceremony, but if you go to YouTube and look at it, it's disgusting. They had people dancing around. I can't really show it to you because it had nudity, it had people rolling around, it had noises like the devil. Did you see it? And this was just last year. They had people in processions with goat's heads, which of course is the symbol for the devil. They had these women with the goat's horns above their heads in submission. They had people rolling around in the ground. And this was called an opening ceremony, but really what it was a demonic consecration, if you want to say that. See, we're about on the cusp of Revelation being fulfilled. These things are real. They're not made up. They are actually going to try and increase the energy of this thing. And if you just look at their symbol, you look at the statue, and the name of the statue is Destruction, you can tell that we are on the cusp of the Bible being fulfilled. Revelation 6:14 also speaks about the fabric of space being torn, and the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man hid themselves. See, they don't really know what they're doing. They're just experimenting, thinking they're going to learn something. And said to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us. Because when you have a fabric, it can be torn if you put enough pressure on it. And that's exactly what they're trying to do. And they said to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth upon the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come. Now, you know why I said it was 2 years? Because the Bible speaks about periods of 3.5 years. So Babylon has fallen, but you know what's going to happen? So will its king. This was the scripture I read. For thou said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. Verse 15, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. We are living in last days. I'm not going to try and finish all of this, but I will continue next week. If you could stand with me, amen. We are living in end times. And if you don't know that, just look what's happening. Pay attention to the news. This week, I told you, the president's son-in-law is traveling to Israel, the Middle East, to do what? To try and get a peace treaty. The Bible was current thousands of years ago. Reality is just catching up with it. We are living in end times. The Bible says that only those who had the seal of God could not be touched. Only those who had the seal of God, which we know is the Holy Spirit, could not be touched. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found anymore in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. I'm telling you, if we knew half the stuff that was going on, we'd probably be in prayer every night. I mean, that's just what's out there. That's not anything hidden or secret, what I showed you tonight. If we knew half the stuff that was going on and how close we were to that call, behold, the bridegroom cometh, we'd be a lot more serious. Most of the things we're worrying about, most of the things we're upset about, wouldn't matter. Bible says we have to make our calling and election sure. And you've all heard this story. When I was 8 and I thought I'd missed the rapture, and I called the police. I called the police because my parents were gone and I thought I'd been left behind. I was only 8.5. My parents had a lot of explaining to do. But I believed then and I believe now it's going to happen. Even more so. Because if that thing out in Switzerland isn't the key, then I don't know what is. And this, between now and next year, they're going to try and bump the energy up some more to see what else they can make appear. We need to make sure that we have the seal of God. It's not a time to be fooling around. It's not a time to be thinking you have some other thing to do. The most important thing is for us to make our calling and election sure. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father, we just thank you tonight for your word. Help it, oh God, to encourage us to seek your face with our whole heart, to put you number one in our lives. Hallelujah. That you are first, second, third, fifth, fourth, that you are all before anything else, Lord God, that by any means that we will make it in. Lord, I pray, oh God, that your Holy Spirit will speak to our hearts, that these words, oh God, will meditate in our hearts, that will bring forth a harvest of faith, hallelujah, of seeking your will, Lord God. We just thank you right now, oh God, that you have allowed us to know how close we are. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your love and your gracious mercy in this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give God a praise offering. Now, there's a lot more stuff going on this year than you could even begin to. In August 21st, anyone know what's going to happen August 21st? Nobody know? There's going to be There's going to be an eclipse, a total eclipse right in America that will go right through the middle of America. In September the 22nd and 23rd, it's going to be Rosh Hashanah. But this Rosh Hashanah is going to be a little bit unusual and different because something that hasn't happened since Adam is going to be happening. Feast of Trumpets. There's going to be, and I'm going to teach on this next week, so I'll shut up. But come next week, you'll hear about it. There's going to be an alignment in the sky that was prophesied that hasn't been for 5,000 something years. And it just happens to be exactly 1,260 days from the first blood moon, which happened 3 years ago. So I don't know what you want to call it, coincidences. I'm not setting any dates. What I am trying to tell you, it's time to get ready. It's time to seek the Lord with your whole heart. The Bible said in Daniel 12, the wise would know. The rest of the world's just going to keep on going on. You heard the scientists say, we don't even know what space is, but we know it's something, that it's not nothing, that it's got energy, that it can be twisted, that it can be, imagine that, rolled up like a scroll. If they'd gone to Isaiah, they'd have found that out a long time ago. Because the Bible is God's word, it's not a mythology. And Jesus said, not one word, not one Hebrew yod or tittle is going to pass away till all be fulfilled. I'm trying to quit. I have quit. God bless you. Greet one another. Be friendly. Pray. 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 God bless you. If you have an offering, leave it. Please come out Sunday. Come out next week, Tuesday. I'll be teaching some more on end times.